Okay, the Gemara Chagiga, Mishnah Chagiga, talking about the different levels. The Mishnah in Chagiga talks about the different levels of Tumah and Tahara, and that's going to be our focus. The highest level of Tahara is the Taharas Chatos, the preparation for the burning of the Parah Adumah and touching the Afer of the ashes of the Parah Adumah. The Parah Adumah, what's unique about it was that it was not done in the Beis HaMikdash itself, it was done outside of Beis HaMikdash. As the Taharas Kodesh says, one of the things that the guy make fun of the Jews, there's two things they make fun of them, and that's the Sar Mishtaleach and the Parah Adumah. The Raman says what these two have in common is that they're not done in the Beis HaMikdash, they're done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. They can understand Karbanah is done in the Beis HaMikdash, but something outside doesn't make sense to them. The Parah Adumah was done in such a way that it had a face, El Nochach Pnei Or El Mor. But see also Michus Samachna, the prophet says, he took it outside of the city, and it was shechted, and the blood was sprinkled towards Pnei Orel Moed, meaning facing the entrance to the Orel Moed, or the Beis HaMikdash, which is facing from the east to west. Which means the Parah Adumah had to be done on the east side of the city, on Har HaZeisim. In the Gemara Yom, in the first parak, we also see from the whole sugya that it was done at the same elevation as that of where the Beis HaMikdash was. It's not enough to be just facing it in a lower situation or above. It's got to be the exact height. And that's why the Gemara goes through a whole thing of how high the entrance was. Can he see in a straight line to the entrance to the Ohel Moed? This spot that we're standing on over here, on Har HaZeisim, is approximately the spot where the Parah Adumah was shechted, and we'll soon be able to stand opposite where the Ohel Moed was to get the idea. The Parah Adumah was shechted in this location, near this location. It was burned over here, and one portion of the ashes was kept in this area over here. What we're looking at over here now is the eastern wall of the Har HaBayis, and at the left end of the eastern wall of the Har HaBayis, we're focusing now on the archway. This arch used to be a staircase. For many years, scholars have been trying to figure out what the purpose of the staircase was, as there was no way from there outside the city towards the east. There was no gate in the city wall. Perhaps this archway, this staircase, were the people who went up from the Shiloh to get onto the Har HaBayis with the procession of the Parah Adumah, which is figured out momentarily, got into the Har HaBayis from this side. It was a special way, a special access to the Har HaBayis. We know from a famous document known as Aristarchus' letter from the Hellenistic period that in Yerushalayim there were different streets for people who were on different levels of Tumah and Tahara. This way, a person who is on a level of Taharas HaKodesh, and as the Gemara says, that if he bumps into someone who is on Taharas Truma and makes him Tameh, they can steer clear of each other simply by walking on different streets. So, the streets are not marked today in archaeology. We cannot know what was used for what, but one of the streets was probably used for Taharas Chatos, and that was the procession, bringing the water from the Shiloh up to the Har HaBayis, and from the Har HaBayis doing the Hazara on the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would be in the 7 days before the Shechita of the Parah Adumah, he'd be in a place in Har HaBayis, Al Pnei Abir, Tzafona Mizracha, which means northeast, which means on this side, the east, and in the northern side of the Har HaBayis. If we're coming up from the Shiloach, which is on the left, down there, which we'll get to B'ezrat Hashem, we're coming up by the Shiloach, so that staircase could be the way that they accessed the Har HaBayis and walked across and got to the place of Pnei Abira to the Lishkas Beis HaEved. So perhaps that was the route that the procession led from the Shiloach all the way up to the Har HaBayis, going through that staircase that, of course, is no longer standing, but we have the remains of the archway, which give us a clue of what once stood over here. Separating... Okay, we're standing over here opposite. You see the Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock is called such because in the center of the building, it's an hexagonal building. In the center of the building, there's a large rock protruding from the ground. That rock is the highest point on the Har HaBayis today. And we know from the Mishnah and Midos, we know from the Gemara and Yom, that the when a person entered Har Habayis from the east, he went up gradually a process of close to 22 amos and into the Heichal. So the Heichal in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the rock protruded from the ground 3 etzvos high, Mishneh and Yom. So the highest point on the mountain is the place where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was, and that's at the west of the Heichal. We're standing over here east. Many believe, based on the Rambam and others, that that rock is the Eved Neshetia, the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
And if we take that point, so we're standing over here west of the we're standing over here east of the Heichal. So when the process of the Paraduma took place, the Kohen Gadol with the Paraduma and the Beis Din and everyone walked out of the Har Habayis from the eastern gate of the Har Habayis, which none of it remains today above ground. And they walked out from the eastern gate, and the Mishnah Midos tells us there were 5 gates at the Har Habayis. And the Shaar Mizrach, the eastern gate, its purpose was that the Parah and all the people accompanying the Paraduma would walk out from there. So they walk out from there, they cross a deep ravine separating between the Har Habayis and the Har Zeisim which we're on, and that was called Nachal Kidron. That name appears in Tanakh, that name also appears again in Yoma. The blood coming out of the Heichal would pour into Nachal Kidron. And from there they come up to the place over here, and here's where they would check the Par Aduma. The burning, the Hazar, had to be opposite of Nochach Pnei Oren Moed. So we're not exactly at the perfect location of where the Hazar was. There was a drop over here to the right, a drop north from where we are, and this is where the process took place. The Mishnah also mentions that when they walked out of the Har Habayis, there was a bridge, keeping on Gavi keeping, arches upon arches of Net Tumas at the home, because there could be Tumah underneath, so we don't want the people to become Tumah, therefore they had arches upon arches. Thus, a person walking on a hollow, and if he's walking on a hollow, will not become tummy, even if there is a dead body underneath. We don't see any of that today, none of that remains. We will see areas with hollows upon hollows, not over here, but later on. But here there was a bridge, and at least 2 rows of archways that on which the Par Aduma came out. Came out with everyone, the Kohen Gadol would be waiting 7 days of preparation, Shivas Yom Kodesh Shevet Zapara, he'd be waiting around the area where that lower arch is, it's a little closer, and a little farther north, which is to the right. This is the place of the location where the Par Aduma, the Shechtim Par Aduma was done. How many Par Adumas were done? The Mishnah in Parah tells us total of 7 or 9 were done. Moshe Rabbeinu did the first, and then the second Beis HaMikdash, a total of 7 or 9. And we'll try to figure out the last one, when and where and how. We'll talk about that at the Shalosh.
Okay, we're standing over here at the entrance to a burial site from the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, a mere few meters away from the site which we stood before, which we said that was very close to where they did the Par Aduma. So, no doubt that this was outside the city, because you're not allowed to bury within the city limits. So that makes it possible that this is the location of the Shechtim Par Aduma. What we do see over here in this cave is very interesting. We see a stone ossuary. Very small, and there's a good reason for that. In the end, the second Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, they buried a two-stage system. First, they buried the body in a kuch, in a dugout area in the cave. The body was left there for 12 months to rot, and after that, they collected the bones. The bones were assembled into one of these ossuaries, and that's called Likut HaTamos, gathering the bones, and then they were stored away. I'm not exactly sure why this was done, a practice which later on seems to have stopped, but as mentioned in the Mishnah, Sigim Merkotan, Likut HaTamos, Sigim Tachim. You look at the ossuaries over here, they seem to be very small. The ossuaries are the size of the large, the length is the size of the largest bone in the body, which is the thigh bone, enough to fit all the bones of the deceased in the ossuary. And then the kuch, the hole in the ground, was reused again. Usually these were family burial plots, which is common, we know for sure, in the first Beis HaMikdash. Rishon Lubavitch talks about people who take a contract to dig out a cave with the amount of tombs that would be in the cave. Here we're looking at one of the few places in Yerushalayim that the ossuaries are still in situ. still where they were found. In most places, they're usually taken out by the archaeologists, and at the museums, all the seals shut to prevent people from stealing them. This is the only place, actually, where you can see them. You can see to the way it was, the way it was found. You look at the designs over here. I don't know if there are any names visible, but these are typical designs of the end of the second place. I mean, this Jewish burial, you don't see this in any non-Jewish burial later period at all. So this is clearly the end of the last 100 years of the second place. Okay, we're now standing on the eastern edge of Har Moriah. Behind me is Har Habayit, and we're focusing now on that archway, which we saw from far away. We see two sets of stones that are actually protruding from the wall, the beginning of an archway. The rest of the arch has been destroyed and is probably buried underneath the ground over here. If you look above the three courses of stones, you see an area with small stones filling in what used to be the doorway. Straight lines, and the small stones are filling in what used to be the doorway. This was obviously an entrance. People came up from this side, and as I said, this is a little mystery why people would be coming from here when this was outside the city. Unless this was a special gateway for those people who came up with the Par Aduma towards the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, and we'll try to figure out who was the one who made that Par Aduma, not now. And coming up from the Shiloh, coming up this way, going in, and straight access to the Lishkas Beis HaEben, where the Kohen Gadol was on the northeastern side. All they had to do was just walk north over here a couple hundred amos, and they'd get to the Lishkas Beis HaEben and the Ezras Nasha. We're standing now on the actual stones and pavement from the days of the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now we're standing here at the edge of the Shiloh. The Gihon Spring went into the tunnel, which was dug by King Chishkiyo about 120 years before the program of the first Beis HaMikdash. In the second Beis HaMikdash, most people were known as where the water exited. This was called the Shiloh. And the Shiloh had a pool, and the two major ceremonies which the pool functioned for, one on a yearly basis, was the Tisha B'Av Sherebah, where the water was drawn from here and brought up to the Har Habayit, and the second was the water for the Par Aduma. Since we're focusing on some of that, we'll go to the Par Aduma. Just a couple words about the Shiloh as in the Regalim. The Mishnah, beginning of Chagiga, says, "Hey, do Kata. Chachlos is the Shaman the Shiloh, if a Kata was Chayv and Re'iyah, as the Chinuch, is from when he can ride his father's shoulders from his farm to Har Habayit, or a little older when he can hold on to his father's hands and walk up from his farm to Har Habayit." The Yerushalmi says, where was this done from? The Yerushalmi says, from the Shiloh. So it's a long climb. This is a major ceremony, parade, walking all the way up. And it began over here, and it's a long, long way up to get to the Har Habayit in town. I'm sure that the water was drawn from here and ceremoniously brought to the Har Habayit. When they did the Par Aduma, so the water had to be brought from the Shiloh. They took kids, they grew them up in houses that had a hollow underneath the houses so that they shouldn't become tame, and then they brought them down to the Shiloh riding on oxen with doors also to solve the problem of Tumah Tatarayim. There should be no Tumah penetrating. When they came to the Shiloh, it said that they filled up water and brought it up to the Har Habayit. As we mentioned, the possibility of taking that archway we saw before, going out to the Har Habayit, along the eastern edge, getting to the Ezras Nashim and the Lishkas Beis HaEben. So what did we see over here? Well, we see a pool on the side, which was probably the pool from the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, where Chizkiyahu brought the water out. To the right of it, we see steps going down, towards steps on the right, we see the wall with the vegetation. Beyond that wall is the rest of the Shiloh pool, which was a much larger pool, situated naturally, topographically here in the edge of the valley. And we don't know how far deep it went because so far I've not been able to get permission from the owner of the land on the right
to cut through their section to see how deep it went. And still, you see this as a massive size pool. People probably, we don't know how hard the water went, but people will be standing over here partaking or observing that ceremony that either happened in the Regalim or with the Paradim. All of this now, none of this has been reconstructed, none of this has been fixed up. This is the way it was naturally. The dating is at least the end of Segment Semigdash after King Hills. That's the dating when this was done, based on points that were found inside the stones over here. What we see over here is the beginning of the, the end, because we're actually looking in the opposite direction. The end of the pavement, well, let's say the beginning of the climb towards Har HaBayis. This is the actual pavement. A lot of it, 50 meters of it have been uncovered. Move it over here, we don't have entrance. It's all a climb to Har HaBayis, but a gradual climb, I would say, even to enable oxygen to walk up. It's not like steep steps, it's a gradual climb. What's interesting is that they found over here underneath the pavement, they found a drainage tunnel. Now, drainage tunnels were common in the Romans, and even the first Bishop of English, well, you need drainage. Otherwise, the water is going to seep in and knock down your walls. But perhaps another thing that the drainage tunnel serves over here is, again, that problem of Tumas HaTahor. That hollow to be able to walk on, they saw by having this drainage tunnel. Which brings us to my theory, hot off the press, the first one to hear it. The steps over here were found, this stairwell was found, pretty much in what we say mint condition. Now, if it was done by King Hordus, and Hordus rebuilt the Hamikdash, he dies in the year 4 BCE, so that's about 75 years before the Hamikdash is destroyed. So let's say he leaves his mark, he leaves an impression on Yerushalayim about 80 years before destruction. Imagine 80 years, people being all irregular, hundreds of thousands of people, there's no way that these steps have been left in mint condition. They're obviously going to be worn out. So why are the steps here in mint condition? So my theory is, the Rishami says that when the Tzaddik Gadol did the Paraduma, he made that bridge, which we spoke about, from Shaar Mizrach until the place of the building of the Paraduma. The Rishami says every Tzaddik Gadol made a new bridge. And even if the Tzaddik Gadol did two, he didn't take the one out of the same bridge that he took out the first one. He made a new bridge. Perhaps a late Tzaddik Gadol who did a Paraduma also made the new pavement over here as part of that. Who was the late Kohen Gadol? We know that one of the Kohen Gadol who did the last Paraduma is the Kohen Gadol named Shmuel ben Piachi, who did two Paradumas. If he did the first one, and he did it the Morah the Shemesh, and Avraham Zakeh told him, and the Chacham told him, he can't do it the Morah the Shemesh, because it's the Dokim. So maybe he's got to do the Shemesh, he had to do it again. Perhaps he's the one who's responsible for the rebasis over here as part of the process and preparation of Yerushalayim for that Paraduma. Now we know he mentioned the Mishnah, the one who did the Paraduma. He's one of the latest behind the Gedolim, appears in Josephus at the time of the war against the Romans. So we are talking literally the last 5-10 years of the second Beis Hamikdash. Perhaps he has to do with that rebasis of this family going all the way up to now. See, here's the kid riding from his shoulder up to. That's the idea. And he's holding onto his father's hand. We take a look, we see the mural on the wall, and this is showing what the Shiloh pool, what it looked like then based on the archaeological excavations. All that's been excavated today is only one small part at the left. But what we do see over here are people starting to go up, a kid pointing towards the Har HaBayis. This is the beginning of the Aliyah Regel. Here we have a young kid, an infant pretty much, riding his father's shoulders like Beis Shammai, which would require him in the year, Chinuch. At the back we have already a kid who can walk up on his own, holding onto his father's hand. This is the Tehillah Shita, called Yochalech of Yodesh Al-Aviv, the Lalas Mishalayim Lahar Bais. So we see that over here, that's depicted. All this again, sorry, the pool. Again, what was excavated bit is only what's visible on the left side, but we know enough today to have an assumption of what this thing looks like.